Right. Hello, everybody. How are you? Good. Well, I'm excited to be here tonight. We're excited to be here tonight and just share with you what God has done in our life. And I'll tell you this, a couple things that I hope you walk away with is that God has performed a miracle. I'm gonna get emotional already. In our marriage, in our lives, individually and as a couple. And also that Jesus Christ is the center of the miracle, the center of the change in our lives. And so, and he's now the foundation of our marriage, and he wasn't before. So if you hear two things, know that God is capable of performing miracles, because we're evidence of that to you, and that Jesus Christ is the means to your marriage becoming all that it can be in him. Will you guys pray with me real quick? Father, I just thank you for this night. I thank you for this opportunity to share the story that you've written in my life and continue to write in my life, and the story you've written in Cindy's life and continue to write in her life and in our marriage, Lord. I thank you for resurrecting the dead bones of our marriage and bringing life into our home. And I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who makes it all possible. In your name, amen. All right, so hey, I'm just going to talk to you briefly about the background of our life together as daters and young lovers, and then walk you into kind of the hard times of our marriage, and then we'll talk through the transition of where God really started to radically transform our hearts and our marriage, and then talk to you about what God's doing now. And so, just as you go back in our life into our relationship, we met at Arizona State University in Tempe, Arizona. Cindy and I did. She was a freshman. I was a sophomore. And she was just fun, and she was hot, and I liked her. You know, and I was, but we were friends for a year. In fact, she dated my brother's best friend for a little while, and I was jealous. And but our relationship, just from the very beginning, was built on a very strong foundation of fun. I mean, Cindy and I we had fun together. Our first date was, we love to say this, we spent the night together. Not the way that normally registers in your mind, but we were playing with some friends on some trampolines, and then we went and watched airplanes land at the airport, and then we decided at 1 o'clock in the morning, our group had dwindled down to just Cindy and I. And I said, hey, let's go up to the top of A Mountain, which is a little hill, really, by Arizona State, and let's climb up there and watch the sun come up. Let's just talk and watch the sun come up. And so we talked and talked. And about 4:30, 4:45, it started getting brighter outside and brighter, and no sun, though. And by about 6 o'clock, I'm going, we're on the wrong side of the mountain. So we were on the west side of the mountain. The sun comes up in the east, so we missed it. But we had a great time. That was our first date. Other things we love to do, we camp together. As we got engaged and got early in our marriage, we'd camp together. We would hike together, mountain bike. I took Cindy on some hunting trips that didn't go so well. But hey, we were just adventurous and really fun. And so that was our relationship all the way through 3 years of marriage. So really 6 years. A year of being friends, a year of dating, a year of engagement, and then 3 years of marriage. You could say that Cindy and Mike were just fun, and we like to have fun together. But as we all know, fun doesn't always last that long, right? Things come into life that change that, and when fun is your foundation, it really has no sustainability to it. So years 3 through 6, okay, so the next 3 years of our marriage, we had 3 kids in 3 years. Okay, our kids are 3 years apart. I got laid off and then started a business. It was called The Little Gym. If you have small kids, you've probably been to a birthday party there and experienced that. I was Mr. Mike and did The Little Gym thing, and Cindy helped me start that. And then just with having kids and starting this business, things just got very hectic and very busy. And so on my part, what I did is I kept seeking all that fun. I kept hiking and camping and biking and boating and fishing and doing all my fun stuff and running my business between 50 to 70, 80 hours a week, while Cindy was becoming more and more isolated and trapped at home with 3 kids. And she was literally, at one point in time, I can honestly say, Cindy was like a single stay-at-home mom, you know? The only thing she didn't have the responsibility was the finances, but otherwise, I mean, she was pretty much on her own because I was gone all the time. And I had just become very passive and very manipulative in our marriage and always just self-seeking and self-serving. And guys, I just want to talk to you real quick. I own that part, okay? I was a passive, unengaged, uninterested husband and father, and it really had a negative effect on our marriage. And the funny thing, or the sad thing about that, really, it's not funny, is as I look back on that time, I kind of thought I had it all figured out. I'm like, hey, Cindy's got the house she wants. She's got the car she wants. If you look at us from the outside, everything looked pretty and nice and packaged up really neatly. I had my boat. I had my fun thing. She had her stuff. She had everything she needed to take care of the kids well. And to me, life seemed pretty good. And from the outside, everybody would have thought it was awesome. But I look at Proverbs 11:28 now looking back, and it says, he who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like the green leaf. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way which seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. And that was the direction that our marriage was heading, was sure and certain death. So 2005, year 7 of our marriage, was just really, really bad. We were fighting a lot. Cindy was angry and resentful and hurting, and I was just completely disengaged. And that leads us to our turning point. See, there's another little piece of my story that I haven't shared with you, is that all the time of our entire relationship, I was addicted to pornography. It was just a little secret that I kept hidden inside. Every now and then, signs of it would come out, but I would always deny it and just act like it wasn't a big deal. And then on January 2nd of 2006, the start of year 8 of our marriage, Cindy found pornography on our home computer while I was at work. And so that evening, Cindy lovingly and gently but emphatically confronted me and said, I know what's going on in our marriage. I found pornography on our computer, and I really want you to deal with this. We can't go on the way that we are. And so that night I met with a pastor, and then I went to a counselor the next day. And by that Friday, I was in CR, and I was just starting to open my life up. And I experienced freedom like I'd never experienced before. But as I shared my life with other men, with these counselors, with the guys at CR, I started realizing really quickly what a tremendous sin that my addiction to pornography was, and also just how it was completely damaging any possibility for intimacy with God specifically, and then how that resulted in no intimacy with Cindy or my kids, leading to my passivity and my poor leadership. And so my big turning point was like January 27th or 28th of 2006. I was on the floor of my bedroom, and I had been reading a book about what a prideful heart looks like, a heart that's disengaged from the Lord and seeking its own self. And there was a list of what prideful people are like and what humble people are like. And there's like 65 characteristics that contrast each other. And I think I checked off 60 on the prideful side and just realized how prideful and arrogant and broken and depraved I really was. And I was in a fetal position on the floor crying out to the Lord for mercy. And he gave it to me. And he started to really heal my heart. And I started to read my Bible. I started seeking the Lord, responding to his word, trusting and obeying. I started engaging with Cindy and the kids. I reorganized my work schedule. I stopped looking at pornography. I mean, just all kinds of things just started happening in my life. I started learning discipline. And I had never done these things before. As a Christian man, I had never really engaged with the Lord and engaged with my family. So I thought I could get by with what I learned in Sunday school back as a kid. And that's just not true. God wanted me to want a relationship with me. And so that was kind of my transition and the beginning of my healing.
So Mike's right about it being so fun. It was a great fun time before things got bad. And he's always been this good looking, so how could that not be fun? But as life changed and three babies changed my life drastically, I was really not happy and Mike was not around a lot. And so I tried to communicate that to Mike, and kind of just reverted back to what I grew up in, which was just a lot of anger and angry communication, and that did not go over very well. And I cried out to God a lot during that time to change Mike, and it never really dawned on me that God wanted to change me. And so when I found porn on the computer that day, I found it early in the morning, so I had all day to figure out what I was going to do because Mike wouldn't be home till late that night. And so I prayed all throughout the day, just really sometimes literally on my face praying to God about what to do. And that day God really spoke to my heart, and that was my turning point. And what God did was he just reminded me of a time before Mike and I were ever married where he just really laid on my heart that our relationship was not right. It was not godly or biblical because we were intimate before we were married. And I remember feeling that way and coming to Mike and saying, you know, I don't think our relationship is right. And him kind of agreeing with me and then just kind of falling right back into the way things always had been. And I really saw that way back before when that happened. I really chose Mike over God in my life. And my relationship with God changed from that choice all through those first several years of marriage. Mm. And I think God just really showed me, like, that's why you're where you're at, Cindy, is your choice way back then. And God just really laid on my heart, like, now is the time. Now is the time for me to do what's right, despite whatever Mike's going to do with me confronting him with the pornography. So God just really laid on my heart to follow him and to obey him in confronting him and in stopping the angriness. And so that was kind of the beginning of that. And then also, so I started going to the counselor we were going to and going to CR. And I think one thing I was really confused about during that time was the difference between me being satisfied by God and me being satisfied by Mike. And I think it was partly because of those years of choosing Mike over God and realizing that Mike, I had made Mike an idol in my life. So it was kind of like, well, where is God, God, and where is Mike, my husband? And how do I be loved by Mike but not be satisfied by that, where I should be satisfied by God? So it was kind of a confusing place for me. And I remember going to our counselor, and what he really did was he just told me, you know, you need to ask God, like, ask God to show you his love for you. And he just kind of led me through a time of praying to God and asking God to show me his love. And I remember that time, it was so real how God showed me how his love completely satisfies me. And it, kind of the mental picture I have of where the reality is of that now is that God satisfies me, and God has given Mike to me to just be that little extra. So it's kind of like God's satisfaction of me is like an ice cream sundae, and Mike is like the cherry on top. It's still a sundae without the cherry. The cherry's just a little bonus, you know. It's kind of like, yeah, cherry. So that's really... but it really helps me to even now remember God is what's going to satisfy me, not Mike. And it keeps me from going there. And then one other thing is also just learning how to feel emotions and express my emotions before they turn to anger. That was one thing that I really learned through CR. And also just learning to forgive and to let go of the resentment and anger I felt of just having too high of expectations of Mike, having made him an idol, and then just being really critical and negative every time he didn't meet my expectations. So learning to let that go and to forgive and to just... trust Mike again based on him pursuing God and a relationship with God and not on Mike's promises to me or what he said, but just seeing he's pursuing God and he's being trustworthy so I can trust him. That was also really big.
So before, in my life, before our big kind of turning point and all that came down, my issue really, I said it was pornography and that stuff, but the more deeper, the core issue for me was that I was trusting in the success of my marriage. I was trusting in my business. I was trusting in what other people thought of me to find my significance and worth and value. And it wasn't in Christ. And so when those things weren't going well, I would turn to anything but Christ to bring satisfaction to my life. So you see, Cindy and I both had a worship issue, a worship disorder. Cindy was worshiping me, I was worshiping things and other people and what people thought of us, and we weren't worshiping God. And so now, what's happening now, and kind of the new Cindy and I that you see before you is that we're still broken, we're still messy, we still mess things up a lot, but I've come to understand that I can't control anything in my life. I can't control people's perceptions of me. I can't control whether Cindy loves me or not. The only thing I can control is what people know about me. And so as I let Cindy into my life and into my heart and let her know my emotions, what's going on in my life, my sin struggles, my victories, we get to experience intimacy. And then I'm not controlling her and manipulating the situation. And I'm just so thankful that I'm growing in my understanding that God has placed Cindy in my life as a means of His grace, not a means to fulfill my selfish desires, which is how it used to be. Now, Cindy has become just my greatest advocate and my teammate in my life. She's my helpmate. She's my confidant. She's my friend. I just truly see her as a gift from God, and I've loved this woman dearly. And it's only because of God that I'm able to do that in a way that's glorifying to Him and honoring to her.
So before, I was very isolated and approached our relationship with the discontentment I felt due to circumstances and hurt and frustration of the high expectations that I had of Mike and him not meeting that, not being really a leader in our home that I really wanted him to be. And so now I think it's kind of one of those things that God has showed me that, you know, when I let go of my expectations, it sort of gives Mike the freedom to be who he wants, can be, and wants to be. And miraculously, you know, because of God, he meets my expectations. So I think what I do now, thanks to God, is just to hold on to expectations loosely. Or, you know, even sometimes try not to have them at all. I don't mean that to say I don't expect anything, but I just try to not expect too much. And then God also just has continued to show me my need for forgiveness. And I think that's one thing. I grew up as a Christian, but I didn't really understand my need for forgiveness until we went through this whole process. And so realizing my need for forgiveness helps me to forgive others, because if I want to be forgiven, then, you know, I need to be a forgiving person too. So another thing God has showed me is just how to not freak out when I'm wronged. I think that was something I would do a lot was, you know, I'd feel wronged in our marriage, or I'd feel wronged by a friend, and I wouldn't know how to handle that very well. And I would, you know, just revert to being angry. And God really showed me that, you know, being gentle and having grace is just being okay to be wronged, and just remembering that that's what Jesus did when he was here. He was God, and he was treated, you know, like an animal, basically, and he never freaked out. Like, he didn't, you know, treat people ugly and when they were treating him ugly. You know, he was still Jesus. So that just gives me inspiration and hope that, you know, I can be like him and I can not freak out when I'm wronged. And just also knowing that when I'm satisfied in Christ, my circumstances don't matter as much. And I can have peace and joy, and I can enjoy Mike more and our relationship, whether our circumstances are good or bad. And when I'm really abiding in Christ and spending time in His Word and praying and being around community and sharing my heart honestly, then I can let go of my unrealistic expectations, like I said, and just really love and cherish Mike as the man God created him to be, and really just rest and enjoy having the benefit of a husband who's really trying to lead our home, and seeing how he loves God and he loves others, and that just blesses me, and seeing that as a blessing instead of seeing the things that Mike doesn't do and being critical of those is just giving me so much freedom and joy. And I just think, what wife wouldn't want that? What wife wouldn't want a husband who is leading her well?
So I just have to tell this story. Cindy and I were at lunch the other day. And by the way, if you have kids and they're in school, lunch is a great date. All right, just trust me. You don't have to pay a babysitter. Lunch menus are cheaper. So if you're on a budget, I mean, it's all good. And then you just can really spend time enjoying one another. And so we try to do a lunch date about every week. But we were talking the other day at lunch just about trust. And Cindy just said, she goes, I'm so thankful for to God for the foundation of trust that He's given us now that we didn't have before when we started our relationship. And as we talked about this, we realized, though, that our trust really isn't in each other, not necessarily. It's in Christ. You see, as we trust Him, we found that we can trust each other. If I'm following after Christ, Cindy can trust me. And if she's following after Christ, I can trust her. And I can trust that when I blow it and I don't lead well, that Cindy's not going to blow up and she's going to be gentle with me and just out of her submission, obedience to Christ and where her heart is with Him. And Cindy knows that when I blow it, I'll admit it quickly and I'll come to her and be honest with her about where I'm at and seek restoration and forgiveness in our relationship. And we've just come to realize that other than that, we're powerless to love each other unconditionally outside of Christ's love. And so John 15:4-5 speaks to this really clearly. Jesus is saying this in the book of John. He says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing." And nothing includes marriage. You know, you can't have a successful, joy-filled, peace-filled home and marriage outside of having your foundation built on Christ. And I love the marriage triangle deal. It's like this, you know, this is me, this is Cindy. If my eyes are on Christ and Cindy's eyes are on Christ, we have elbow room, right? To be who God designed us to be, and to enjoy one another and walk in relationship with one another. But as soon as I go like this, or she goes like this, and our eyes are on each other, we're just jumbling all up and we're messing up what God created us to be, how He wired us up to be as a couple. And so when we focus on Christ, our relationship is sweet. It's that simple. And so if this is your first night tonight here at Reengage, there is hope for you. Whether your marriage is, we talk about, if your marriage is a 9 and you want it to be a 10, or if it's a 0 and you need it to be a 1, just to make it through tonight, there's hope. And I don't want to disappoint you in this, but the hope is not in your marriage. The hope is not in your spouse or even in yourself. It is solely and completely in Christ Jesus. If you will focus on Christ and come to the understanding that you're complete in Him, the way you look at your marriage will never be the same. And it's then that your marriage will really truly begin to change. Thank you for letting us share.
Great. Hey, great job, guys. Hey, real quick question. So you got church planning, you guys are moving, you got kids in school, you're finishing seminary, doing your job, you're working. So that's a lot of stress right now. Yes. So how's that been? Have you guys kind of handled that pressure both well and not well lately? What can we learn from that?
I think in the area of well is we just sat down as a family. And we just see this year as a transition. And so we just were honest with the kids and said, hey, look, we're going to take a break from extracurricular activities and just really focus on our family and growing as a family unit. And so we have dinner every single night of the week, except for Fridays when I'm at work here. And then we just try to really, really spend quality time together when we can. Now, when that gets sideways, a good example is this Monday night. So Cindy and I have fought in the last 48 hours, just so you guys know. Everything's not perfect in our home, all right? We'd be lying if we said it was. But Monday night, I kind of broke that deal with the family, and I planned something about a month ago and put it on my calendar where I was going to be out for the evening. And it was just the timing of it couldn't have been worse. And so I went and did my thing and came back and it's just tough, right? We had to just work through that. And so I think we have to keep really short accounts right now when it's really busy. I mean, literally minutes. You know, if we see something going sideways, it's time out and let's figure this out. So that'd be the best way to put it.
Well, I will affirm you in front of these friends here that I know that to be true for both of you, that you keep short accounts, because I think in the last 4 years I've frustrated you both at different points, right? And they've been real diligent to come to me and say, hey, dude, you hurt my feelings, or you were off base, can we talk about that? And I didn't hear about it sideways, I didn't hear about it the way I heard it directly from you. So I've experienced that, I know that to be true in your lives, and so I think that's a great way to handle all the stress, is to get out in front of it, you know, plan ahead, and then keep really short accounts. So yeah. Really good stuff, guys. Thanks so much for sharing your story.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.